It's now time for The Sit Down with Don Tony.
The Sit Down, where Don Tony talks one-on-one with his followers.
What are you looking at?
About the world of pro wrestling, pop culture, and so much more.
The Sit Down with Don Tony.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
Hey, how you doing, everybody? Hope you're enjoying your weekend. It is Sunday night, January 22nd, 2023. This sit down, yours truly, hanging out with everybody tonight. A lot of football activity going on, I see, based on social media. That's all right. I know most of you will probably check this out on the replay. It's all good. For the next hour or so, we are just going to basically hang out and talk about whatever is on your mind. That is what the sit-down is all about. We sit down, we relax, usually have a little bit of wine, maybe coffee, but today it's water. Last Sunday, I had a double espresso. I didn't go to sleep till 4 o'clock in the morning. You know, supposedly caffeine stays in your system for like 3 hours. Bullshit. Because at 11 o'clock, my eyes were like this. You ever see Robot Chicken? That's what my eyes were like. And believe me, it is a pattern. Because even on Wednesday, I made a cappuccino at like 8 o'clock. I didn't fall asleep till almost 3. So for some reason, having caffeine at night screws up yours truly. Maybe it's because I'm getting old. I don't know. But if you're new to the sit down, basically the deal is this. I sit here and I answer your questions. All I ask is if you're in the chat room and you have a question, just write in capital letters the word question before it. If you have a comment you want to share, write in capital letters the word comment. I could spot it quicker. If I do answer yours, wait a few minutes, let others, you know, ask their shit, and then you could ask more. And as always, super chats never required, always appreciated, always go right back into the channel. We reinvest, and we'll always get VIP priority status. And I know some of you, you know, get yours in before we go live, which is all good. I have no problem with that. The more the merrier. So start thinking about what you want to talk about today. I see that there's two super chats that already came in, so I'd like to open up with that if you don't mind. I think both questions are pretty interesting. Roger Rubio with the 5-spot. Thank you, brother. Watching his 49ers playing the rival Cowboys, stressful game so far. What is an underrated wrestling rivalry that I feel deserves more love? First of all, do not super chat this, Roger, or anyone else in the chat room. Tell me what the score is right now with the 49ers and the Cowboys. Something tells me that the Cowboys are winning based on Roger's comment. Let me say like 17-7. Oh, it's 6-9. All right. So they went in 9-6. Okay. At halftime. Wow. What a shitty score. That's like a baseball score, but wow. Four field goals. What am I saying? Is it five or is it maybe one and then a touchdown with a missed extra point? A lot of defense tonight. So probably they're all field goals. So, man, I remember back in 85 when the Chicago Bears won the Super Bowl, and I was a rabid Giants fan at the time. Motherfucking Jim McMahon, Refrigerator Perry, and everybody else. I mean, they would just shut down defenses like you wouldn't believe. The only reason why I watched the games was because of John Madden and Brett Summerall. I mean, I loved that duo. My favorite duo in the history of me watching football. You know, I ain't no spring chicken. I mean, I remember watching football back in the early 80s, and those two guys were my favorite pairing in football. Don't get me wrong. I used to love Howard Cosell. He definitely is an inspiration for me. Howard Cosell, Al Michaels, ABC, Monday Night Football, that was awesome. I used to love when Howard Cosell used to do baseball, man. That ruled. ABC baseball game of the week. But my favorite baseball duo that are not New York announcers, Vin Scully and Joe Garagiola. I loved that pairing. In a close second, it would be Harry Carey and who was the pitcher from the Orioles? Oh, shit. I'm drawing a blank right now. Steve Stone. Those two are funny. I don't remember that other Matarazz that was a Cubs announcer from the 70s. You know, he would always act like he was a playboy. He's most infamous for hitting a home run and running the bases backwards back in like the 50s. I can't remember his name right now, but somebody will probably remember it. If they do, I'll definitely let you all know. All right, so 9-6, shit, wow. Sucky game, man. All right, Ronnie C., thank you for the 10 spot, my friend. Much appreciated. Good evening, Mr. Don. A serious question for you. Why do I think Nick Khan calls Tony Khan a kid? Nick Khan is only 6 years older than Tony. All jokes aside, why does he call him that? Well, I didn't realize that Nick Khan was only 6 years older. You mean to tell me that Nick Khan is that many years younger than me? Holy shit. Holy shit. He's 46? Oh, my God. I never, that can't be. Because I know Tony Khan is 40. But if he's only 40, yeah, it kind of makes sense. I mean, you look at him, he doesn't look that old. Honestly, as you say, all jokes aside, I think there is a very easy explanation to that. And I don't really think it's necessarily age, because look, Tony Khan is 40. He's not a kid. But in the world of billionaires, he acts like a child. I mean, look, you're a rabid fan of AEW. I respect that. You're a big fan of Tony Khan. I respect that. Believe me when I tell you, at the end of the day, I appreciate Tony Khan a hell of a lot, because that guy is a hardcore wrestling fan and chose to dump a boatload of money for our entertainment purposes. Doesn't mean that he's not a petulant child, you know, but the thing is, in the billionaire world, you know, Tony Khan does not act like a billionaire. Tony Khan doesn't act like an executive. Tony Khan acts like a child, like he wants to be one of the boys. You know, when he's around wrestling, he's got a big set of balls. But, you know, you hear him do serious interviews like we played on Saturday, you know, with Michelle and the Wild Man, whatever the fuck the name of that show was. And, you know, you hear him with Ariel Helwani, he melts. He melts. He's just, you know, a bowl of Jell-O. But when it's wrestling stuff or it's people that have like that same immaturity, you know, he acts like a superstar. You know, when he calls out Nick Khan, I told Nick and Stephanie, cut it out. You know, with all due respect, that's not how you talk to billionaires. You get a lawyer, you send a cease and desist. Stop fucking with my talent contracts. Stop making phone calls. You don't just say, oh, I told the roster, fuck off, Tony and Stephanie. They laugh at that. Like, look at this kid. Tony Khan doesn't come off as a threat. Tony Khan doesn't act. And the funny thing is, you see him in a soccer league, in a football league. He does. He does. That's why I believe Nick Khan calls him a kid. Because as a billionaire executive, you know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to think of a good example. All right, here's one that's so outdated that I should be slapped in the face for it. Remember the movie The Blues Brothers, 1982? The only reason why I'm mentioning it is because it was on TV the other day. When the Blues Brothers went to that fancy restaurant and Dan Aykroyd is like slurping out of the glass, and they're tossing shrimps at each other. The women, how much for the women? The little girl, how much for the little girl? You know, they're in a posh, upper-class restaurant, and they're acting like children. That's how Tony Khan comes off as if he went to, like, a billionaire executive meeting. You know what I mean? Like, the only thing is I don't think he would walk in and they're like, hey, where's the girls? Where's the girls? He just acts immature. That's why Tony Khan is called that. I don't think it's necessarily age. I think it's more of immaturity. And look, as years go by, and believe me when I tell you, I'm not saying this, you know, to bring up something nasty or something depressing, but, you know, I mentioned this about 6 weeks ago. I think the health issues with his mom really put in perspective. You know, sometimes it just puts life in perspective a little bit more. And I think that kind of shook him a little bit. I mean, if you really look at Tony Khan's comments the last 6 weeks, You know, not the wise ass, not the, look, even when Vince returned and he made that lighthearted joke on social media, like, hey, everybody's acting nice to me today. That was fine. Nothing wrong with that. But, you know, not acting like an uber immature kid. So I think that's the reason why. Twix is saying, but Vince is mature. How does he treat the ladies? Twix, that is the billionaire's world. I'm not making excuses for Vince's behavior. Vince's behavior was disgusting for our standards. But, you know, in that world, you know, look, it doesn't give any woman the right to be abused. But as I have said many times over the years, look at what happened with Matt Riddle. And by the way, if everything works out, I will be interviewing or having a conversation with Misha Montana this week. She right now is on tour for a few events. But look at what happened there. You know, you have all these women accusing him of abuse. And believe me when I tell you, I don't want to invade on their privacy. But I have talked to Misha for hours. And there's a couple of times I talked to him. Matt Riddle was in the background, on the other line once or twice. But he, you know, let me just say it like this, without getting too personal. Someone who believes that they have like a really strong relationship, like that's my future. That is he's my soulmate. But meanwhile, that other person has a totally different view on a relationship. And someone gets hurt as a result. And I'm being sincere right now. Someone gets hurt as a result because one person thought that the relationship was uber serious and the other person all along thought it was super casual. And that person's feelings are extremely hurt. That's not abuse. If someone tells you, I love you, and then goes and finds someone else, you know, maybe that's not the best relationship or maybe your aspirations were a little too high. That's not abuse. If you go to a nightclub, and, you know, I've brought this up many times, and a guy comes up to, hey, how you doing? Hey, you look like a model. Hey, I got my brother, my father, he's a model. You know, you want to come back to my house, take some pictures, maybe I can get you a job. And then you go back to the house, you wine and dine, maybe it leads to something, and then you get laid, and then the woman finds out that write for PW Insider. Or The Torch. We don't want to disrespect PW Insider anymore. They do a better job. You know, you find out that the person works washing dishes in a restaurant. You know, the next week when you go to the club, you slap that motherfucker in the face. You fucking lied, you piece of shit. That's not abuse. Sorry, it's not abuse. People are players. I mean, my God, you look at all these movies, and I'm not calling a race card. You look at BET, you look at Lifetime, you look at the Madea movies. How many Madea movies? Because she watches it all the time. You look at it and somebody's played. This woman, oh, she's getting married, this and that. And then she walks into her husband's law firm and the receptionist is sitting on the desk with a miniskirt. And meanwhile, there's this other woman like fixing a light bulb. And that's the movie. That's not abuse. That's a pig. It's a pig. So Vince, as appalling as behavior is to me, I don't know if Vince committed any crimes. He certainly is a pig. He certainly is, he's a cheater. You know, that's how I look at it. You know, Tyler Perry, I give him credit, man. That guy, you know, is an inspiration. But I'm a little sick of those Madea movies. What are you doing over there? Every week there's a fucking Madea. Madea goes shopping. Madea goes to the mall. Madea goes to the florist. Madea protests. Madea does this. Madea does that. Oh, man. You know what I want to see? Madea versus Jason. Or Madea versus Jason versus Freddy. Give me that. Or Michael versus Madea. Let's see what happens there. Go use your frying pan, Madea. Watch what happens. And I say this joking around. Tyler Perry, I definitely have a lot of respect for. See how these shows go off the rails for everybody who is new? All right, let's go to the chat room. Let's mingle for a little bit. How long we gone already? Is it an hour yet? It's only 15 minutes. Fuck. Nah, I'm only kidding. Check it out. We got Raw tomorrow, and I'm a little bit embarrassed.
I had two pictures that I wanted to download for tonight's show. Just a little preview for tomorrow, and I forgot to do so, so I'm doing it right now. But have no fear, it only takes literally about 10 seconds. This is the little thumbnail that I was working on for tomorrow. I'll put it on the screen right now. That is tomorrow's Raw. And we have Bobby Lashley taking on Austin Theory for the United States Championship. I expect Brock Lesnar to show up and fuck that match up. The Usos defending the Raw Tag Team Championships against Dominic Mysterio and Damian Priest. I'm curious if Rey Mysterio shows up. I'm not saying that he will, but I'm wondering. See, I don't want it to be a night of clusterfucks. But you know there's going to be some interference going down somewhere, something. I just don't see Judgment Day winning the titles tomorrow. Cage match between Bayley and Becky Lynch. If I was one or both of them, I would definitely look under the ring before the match starts. That's all I'm going to say. And we got the trial of Sami Zayn. They changed this from the, what, Bloodline celebration to the trial of Sami Zayn. A little twist in the storyline. You know, you almost feel like maybe the trial of Sami Zayn should have happened after the Royal Rumble. I'm a little curious that they advertised Kevin Owens versus Solo Sikoa for Friday, because you would think if this is a setup for Kevin Owens, Kevin Owens should be laid out and not wrestle the day before the Royal Rumble. I'm a little confused for that match. Maybe something happens on Raw tomorrow that, you know, screws up that match for Friday. That is your preview tomorrow. And we got a whole bunch of legends, as you will see. You know, listen, as far as the bell is, from what I was told, because we were talking about this yesterday, they were on the banner that was posted Monday, and then they were not on the banner later on in the week. I know this is going to sound ridiculously stupid, but I contacted someone who I trust, and I said, hey, I was like, what's the deal with the Bellas? And he wrote ?, and I said, you know, they were on the banner, now they're off the banner. And the person's answer to me was, yeah, they have multiple banners. You know, not everybody can fit on every banner. I'm like, I get your point. So as of right now, the Bellas is still scheduled to be there. In fact, there's going to be a few surprises tomorrow. Brock Lesnar will probably show up. Nobody's talking about Steve Austin. Nobody's talking about John Cena. We might get Lita and Trish Stratus making an appearance. We don't know yet. But, you know, just because they got names announced doesn't mean there's not going to be a few surprises as well. So tomorrow's going to be a fun show. I'm looking forward to it. And go figure. Yesterday we said that Sami Zayn is probably going to get dissed on Raw. That was before they announced the change from the celebration of the Bloodline to the trial of Sami Zayn. Remember yesterday? Yeah, we had a feeling that Sami Zayn was going to get dissed. So chalk one up for the good guys. Austin Nance, what is up? DT, what is your vision of what the Pitch Black match is going to turn out to be? It's going to be extremely dark. It is going to be pretty much anything goes. I think this is being done to make it spookier. Uncle Howdy is obviously going to make an appearance. I hope that there is a reveal. And it's just to hype up Mountain Dew's Pitch Black soda that's coming out, or it's re-released, whatever it is. I never had Pitch Black Mountain Dew before, but that's what it's all about. You know, Mountain Dew's paying a good chunk of money to WWE for sponsor, and WWE is making a Pitch Black match to coincide with it. The only thing I'm happy about is it appears it's not going to be red. Like, the building's not going to be red. So anything but red. I'll even take yellow. Give me urine-colored yellow in the lighting, and I'll be happy with it. Banana yellow. But no red. The red, for some reason, just really fucks my eye up. Both my eyes. The Pitch Black match is just going to be dark. It's going to be pretty quick, I would think. You know, we'll get a lot of Yowie Wowie references and a few other things. It's interesting, the last 48 hours, people are like, you know, they're really starting to think back to the White Bunny promos. They're like, this is not what we expected. Yeah, no shit. Because they thought that the puppets were going to be Grayson Waller and Joe Gacy and this part. You know, it's the six shades of Bray, I think. And I hope O'Dallas gets revealed tomorrow, Because at least there's a twist to the storyline. At least Bo Dallas will probably return to the ring more than Bray Wyatt. But we also got to remember, Bray Wyatt had a broken finger. You know, broken finger is nothing to play around with. And, you know, that does limit you a little bit. But that's what I expect the match to be. Philip Promoter. Do I think Naomi will be in the Royal Rumble? And he's bringing a DT sign to Raw tomorrow. That is awesome, man. I hope you get on camera. And yeah, that is great. Thank you for that. I really appreciate it. I mean, let's be honest, everyone. Yeah, maybe because I've been around for so long, but no other podcaster in the history of wrestling podcasting. Maybe the one that Bully Ray does on Sirius XM. Maybe they have had more in the last couple of years. But overall, no other podcaster has had as many signs as yours truly at wrestling shows over the years. Not even close. Busted open, that's what it is. They've definitely had more in the last bunch of years. They should, when they're on Sirius Satellite. And you got legends like Bully Ray and Dreamer and others on there. Mark Henry. So you expect them to get more. But that is awesome. As far as Naomi, I think Naomi will be at the Royal Rumble. I really believe that. I really believe, and this is not shade on Naomi, but we all talked about this, Jesus, 4 or 5 months ago. There was going to come a point where, you know, some events, some wrestling stuff, some modeling stuff, some Hollywood stuff, that they were going to turn around and say, you know, yeah, we want Mercedes. Trinity? Yeah, no, we want Mercedes. It's not a shot on Naomi, Trinity Fatu. You know, they're not like Siamese twins. They're not like, you know, like sharing a body. You know, just because they're sister from other misters and they're very, very close and they made appearances together because places wanted to capitalize after both of them walking out on Vince McMahon and WWE last year. So a lot of places said, wow, they walked out. Yeah, let's book them together. Tag team. They both step up and quit. And look, if I was an entertaining outlet, I would bring in Trinity. But at some point, you knew that that wasn't going to last forever. I think Trinity returns. I think Naomi returns. Believe it or not, I actually thought to myself yesterday, can I see Naomi possibly winning the Royal Rumble? I mean, that would be pretty cool, but I still think Becky Lynch and Rhea Ripley, they corner the Rumble and the Elimination Chamber, you know, or combination. You know, I don't know which one wins which, but I do think Naomi will be at the Rumble. I really believe that, you know. And, you know, listen, and I'm just saying this to be straight up. If she had a kid, you know, a newborn, and she was, you know, dedicating more time at home for that, all right, then I would say, okay, maybe not. But she's a wrestler. She's a great wrestler. She's got to return to the ring, especially now that, you know, she's free to do what she wants. You know, what are you waiting for? So I think she's back at the Rumble. But I still don't think she's going to win it. She might end up being number 30. She may end up being number 30. Hopefully they have her in there a little bit sooner because I'd like to see her in there and clean house a little bit, not show up when there's only like seven people left in the Rumble. Maybe she shows up at like, I don't know, number 18 or 19. Put Naomi in there. This way she has a nice showing in the Rumble. So Lacey Evans will not win the Royal Rumble, Rams fan. Hell no. That will not help Lacey Evans in any way. Will not help her. Fans will be even more pissed than they were at Batista several years ago when Daniel Bryan had the Yes Movement. Lacey Evans, I know you're joking. I hope you're joking. Operation Cobra Clutch, not for the winner of the Royal Rumble. I don't see that. Michael Gonzalez, my favorite Royal moment of all time. Oh, that is easy. Chris Jericho's debut. That countdown clock. We were doing hotlines back then. Every week, I would go on the hotline every Monday night, and I would figure out to the second how many months, weeks, days, minutes, and seconds were left. The problem was We didn't know exactly what time he was going to debut on Monday Night Raw. But if you followed the countdown clock, you kind of figured it would be around the second hour. But Chris Jericho's debut, and it's not even close for me. It's not even close. I had chills going down my spine. When I had Tombstone Radio, his first ever Break the Walls theme, I wanted that theme more than anything else. And then WWE finally released the song like 10 years later, maybe even more than that. Jericho's debut in Raw is my favorite Raw moment of all time. E-Dub Harris is in the house. What's going on? Bash 8 would like to see Trish win the Rumble and face Charlotte. I could see that in Saudi Arabia. I don't see it at WrestleMania. Nothing against Trish. But Trish is not returning in any capacity. She's not going to have a run. She's not going to be here for a couple of months. I would love it, but look at Lita. Remember Lita last year? Remember everybody and their mother was saying, oh, no, she's going to be around. She's going to be around. And we all felt, no, it's that she's coming back for the Saudi payday, and that is it. And that's what happened. She lost, and then she was gone again. So I think if Trish were to have a match with Charlotte, I think Saudi Arabia is the perfect place to do it. And I think the match will be good. I just don't see Trish Stratus returning on any type of a extended basis. You know, I don't consider, I think a minimum of 3 months, and not just show up once a month. I think a minimum of 3 months would be ideal for anybody from yesteryear to return for a little while. That's why I just don't see The Rock. I don't see The Rock, you know, like people still, and I typed a synopsis for tomorrow's show. I haven't posted it yet, but I'll post it right after we're done tonight. But, you know, you look at that and people are still guaranteeing, not guessing or fantasizing, guaranteeing that The Rock is going to show up tomorrow, cause chaos to Roman Reigns, announce he's entering the Rumble, wins the Rumble, challenges Roman Reigns at Mania and beats him. Like, what babanya are you smoking? Like, why does anybody think that The Rock is going to come back to WWE and stick around for 3, 4, 5 months? I don't see it. And I think fans will not be extremely thrilled if they see him back and then they realize this guy's only back for a very, very short period of time. Look, when John Cena made his return, we knew, I'm not talking about recently, I'm talking about the last year, or actually 2021. You know, we knew it was going to be for a short amount of time. But remember, he did a lot of dark matches, a lot of post-SmackDowns. Remember the people online, oh, why do you keep working dark matches? Why is he not on TV? Because it was a special attraction for people who were live. You paid a ticket, you came to see live, you get a little bit of a bonus. You get John Cena, you know. So The Rock, I just don't see it. I don't see it. Roderick Howard, any updates on Carmella? She had the miscarriage in September. You know, if you remember, we talked in detail as far as what happened there and, you know, physically, obviously, you know, the pain and the warning signs led to, you know, what happened in the miscarriage. But, you know, I think it's more emotional right now than anything else. I think for Carmella, and who am I? I ain't a psychiatrist. I don't know her personally. But I have a feeling that Carmella returning to wrestling might be some of the best medicine for her, especially that Corey Graves is on TV every week. I think her touring with Corey, I think is probably one of the best things for her. Yeah, she definitely could be a surprise at the Royal Rumble. And if she does return, I think she's a Raw wrestler. Going forward, not SmackDown, this way. Oh, actually, no, what am I saying? No, yeah, she would be a Raw wrestler. Remember, Pat McAfee's returning soon. Nobody's talking about it. Pat McAfee's returning soon. It's going to be really interesting to see how that affects Kevin Patrick. And if people say to me, no, Pat McAfee's SmackDown, and Kevin Patrick's Raw. Well, we already talked numerous times that domino effect and who would be pulled from where. You know, you do the, what was it, 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon? If you do the 6 degrees of Booker T, Pat McAfee ends up maybe costing Kevin Patrick his spot on a Raw commentary team. And Booker T has something to do with that as well. So, If you want me to repeat it again in the future, I will. But it will start a shift in multiple commentary teams. Kishon is asking, do I believe Matt Cardona / Zack Ryder will be pushed after his return? I would put Matt Cardona on NXT. It's nothing against him personally. He's totally reinvented his career. But a lot of what he has reinvented fits AEW 1,000 times more than it fits WWE. I don't see it. I mean, he was in WWE forever, and he won that ladder match at Mania. And to me, that's like still like one of the what-the-fuck moments. Nothing personal against the guy, but, you know, it's a nice nostalgia moment. And then 5 minutes later, what is he going to do? He's going to go on the mic and cut, you know, pipe bomb. And people are going to be like, oh, yeah, yeah, Zack Ryder. You know, it's he had a great run. He could still go. But I don't see him leapfrogging all of these WWE stars. I see him maybe more in NXT. Then let him get acclimated back with WWE. Then maybe you keep him on the main roster. What do you think he's going to do? You think he's going to leapfrog a whole bunch of people? I don't see that. You see how hard they can't get Dexter Lumis over, Johnny Gargano and stuff, and then you have Sanity returning, and then Bronson Reed, they still don't know what the fuck to do with Bronson Reed. I don't care how impressive he is. You know, there's only so many, you know, enhancement wrestlers that he could squash. There's only so many Tozawas that he could squash. And Matt Cardona's going to leapfrog all those other people? I don't see it. I know a lot of people don't like to hear hard facts like that, but I'm just expressing an opinion, and I just don't see it. Matt Cardona's 37. Even if he was 27, he still would not leapfrog. He could still go. So his age isn't a factor. I'd rather see Nick Aldis come in. Nick Aldis, class, wear a suit, very businesslike. I think Nick Aldis would be great right now for that company. I'd love to see Nick Aldis in there. In fact, my hope is Nick Aldis is in the Royal Rumble. Out of all the surprises, give me Nick Aldis. I'll be happy. Did you ever think that would come out of my mouth? Just think 10 years ago. Magnus! Rocky Red says, rest in power, Jay Briscoe. I was so glad to see him in person at House of Glory on his birthday. Listening to Jim Cornette pay tribute to Jay Briscoe this morning was heart and soul crushing. Yeah, he talked about him for a good hour, and deservingly so. Jim Cornette worked with him, knew him, and very nice tribute. Very nice tribute by a boatload of people out there. At the end of the day, like I said it Saturday, I say it again here. At the end of the day, the fact that all of these journalists who know who the executive is, and I heard there's more than one in WarnerMedia that would not budge about the Briscoes appearing on Dynamite or Rampage in the past and after Jay's death, I heard there's more than one. And the fact that journalists are withholding names because they think that Tony Khan might get in a little trouble, you know, you biased pricks. Somebody fucking died, and even that in death, and all of this outpouring of love and people who he supposedly offended, you know, educated those executives and they still said no. Stop fucking protecting people. Be a fucking journalist. You know, you don't have any problem spilling names when it's a Vince McMahon scandal or someone else. But here, you know at least one executive's name. And they won't reveal that person's name. And I say it that way because it could be a he or it could be a she. I'm not saying who I won't say the name because I'm not really a journalist. I'm not. I'm an opiner. And I'm not going to throw a name out there and end up being wrong. You know, I can get in trouble. These fucks, they know. You know, without being controversial, why do you think literally hours after Dynamite, you had journalists saying, oh, that was not Tony Khan who didn't do the tribute. That was executives that refused to do the tribute because they were more concerned about keeping Tony Khan's name clear than anything else. Oh, EVPs. Oh, let's get that out there right away. Tony Khan, you know, it was not him that was against the tribute. It was the executives. You know, be a fucking journalist. You know, a little, I don't know, man. That's just me the person talking. I'm not going to call out anybody in particular, but man, you know, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I'm just too old school. I don't know. Yeah, I did hear about that incident in California. That is awful. I think 10 people died in a dance club. All I know is that there was controversy last night that a lot of news outlets didn't want to post that it was an Asian American. They would just say, oh, it was a male. Well, that kind of like narrows it down. You know, that doesn't surprise me because we had it in New York when Bill de Blasio, no relation to me, Bill de Blasio was our mayor. You know, I've told this story before. My brother's best friend is a sergeant, very high up in the New York Police Department. And one day, I think it was Thanksgiving, several years ago, when de Blasio was still mayor, in fact, probably within a year after he became mayor, they told the police department that when you radio that you're looking for someone on the street, you're not allowed to, I believe, say their skin color, and you're not allowed to describe the hair. Like, you can't say dreadlock. I don't remember exactly what the thing was, but they were like, you could only say male wearing sweatsuit. And pay, like, you couldn't even say the. It was just the way that this sergeant was explained to me. I was like, why? Like, if it's a white guy, you say it's a white guy. If it's somebody fat, you say it's somebody fat. If it's somebody black, Hispanic, just say who it is. Describe them. You know, it's, yeah, I just. And you know what? I'll say also, me, I'm for gun control. I don't think any of us need to use assault weapons. You know, if my house gets broken into and 10 bullets ain't enough to protect my family, then I'm fucked. That's it. I don't need no fucking Rambo gun, you know, to protect my house. But at the same time, though, look at California. They got some of the strictest gun laws. What does that prove? If some whack job wants to commit atrocities, they'll be able to get a gun. They'll be able to get it. You don't think that I can't get one? You probably could get one. Any of us could get one. What stops us from going into a place and blowing up a joint? Because, you know, we don't want to get in trouble. We don't want to hurt anybody. We don't want to commit crimes. We don't want to break the law. We don't want to injure anybody. We want to enjoy our lives. So that just goes to show you that if somebody wants to get one, they will get one. Period. You know, you could have as many gun laws as you want. If I'm going to kill people, you think I give a shit about a gun law? Imagine me going on the street. Hey, Carlos, come here. I need a fucking Uzi. Give me an AR-15. All right, well, you know what? Give me a fucking 44. Right, don't you want an AR-15? No, give me a 44. You know, AR-15's a band. Guy look at me and start laughing at me. What the fuck you care about gun laws for? You're about to kill a bunch of people. I think people just don't use common sense sometimes. So, I don't have no weapons. I don't want no weapons. I don't need any weapons. My hands are my weapons. Oh, I thought I had a Taz photo somewhere. I think it's inside. Big fan of Taz. Always been a big fan of Taz. Peter Zanerka. I don't need no weapons. My hands are my weapons, weapons, weapons. Shout out to Harry Slash. We were talking a couple of nights ago. He is the inventor of all the great ECW music. So, good guy, man. Really good guy. Charlie is asking, why is Chris Jericho's debut my favorite Raw moment of all time? Because it was epic, awesome, amazing. It was fucking cool. Seeing Jericho go, I was a Jericho-holic. I used to have the WCW shirt that was Jericho-holics with all the multicolors and the silhouettes of his body, his upper body. My favorite moment of all time. That's why it's my favorite. That's like saying, DT, why is pizza your favorite? Because it's my favorite. Will Vince appear in person on Raw 30? Benjamin, I'll be honest with you. I don't think he will. He will be featured. You will see multiple moments with Vince McMahon on the screen. I have a feeling, this is me being straight up honest, and this is similar to what I said last Monday. I truly believe that with the sale, I think Vince is trying to regain the trust of the wrestlers. I think Vince McMahon vowing to Triple H that he is only back for executive stuff right now. I think to Raw 30, I think that would be a really good example to that roster. I don't think he wants anybody to feel uncomfortable right now. The only people I think he wants to feel uncomfortable is the competition. I don't think he wants anybody in that roster. I think it would be kind of awkward. I think it would be a little bit awkward that Vince bumps into some people that he fired a year and a half ago, and then they're back on the roster. I think there would be some awkwardness there. I don't think Vince will be there tomorrow, but they will celebrate moments with Vince. They are not going to ignore Vince. I said that last Monday. I say it again here now. People might get a little triggered tomorrow that they're celebrating Vince, but they're also going to show Sasha. And there's a lot of controversy online. Oh, CM Punk wasn't featured on the clip on SmackDown. Yeah, that's okay. There was a lot of people that weren't featured. You know, people like, oh, how do you not put the pipe bomb? You know, relax. Watch Raw 30 first, and then Raw 30 first. Watch it. Watch Raw 30 first, and then we talk about it. That's what I have to say. Right now, someone is saying, what do you mean Raw 30 first? Maggie says Vince is already back in his office. Sure he is. It's the new building, though. I drove past that new building. Oh, by the way, with all due respect, some journalist, I don't want to say his name. I say this more lighthearted. He's not a bad guy. But some journalist, I mean, just to show you when people like for attention, says he drives past the WWE corporate headquarters every day and Vince's light in his office is on. You don't snap your phone picture once. You don't fucking take a picture once. I mean, that's my first reaction. It's like, what, snap a fucking photo. Let's see the light on. How ridiculous is that? First of all, you've never been in a new office. They're moving stuff from the old office to the new office. And if he says, well, it's the old office light is on, how do you know that they're just not packing stuff up and bringing it over? How do you know that Vince is in there? Do you see his silhouette? Do you see a silhouette of somebody walking like this? The light is on. Yeah, the light is on and there's nobody home. I read stuff like this and I'm like, am I missing something here? Yeah, they have a new office. We drove past it when we went to Mohegan Sun in November. And we went to Foxwoods and Connecticut for a few days. We drove past it. It's much smaller than the original office. In fact, it was funny because when we were going towards Connecticut, every time we drive to Connecticut, when we decide to drive instead of taking the ferries, WWE offices are on our right. So when we drove by, she's like, oh, there's WWE offices. She's pointing to the left. And I'm like, because I always saw it on the right. And I'm like, am I on the right road? Because it was on the left. And then I realized it was the new building. Stephanie will not be at the Raw anniversary. Nope. She will not. Gamer's Block, speaking about not ignoring people, I think Great Muda should be in the WWE Hall of Fame this year. Do I think so? Also, Hakushi looked fantastic for his age this morning. Yeah, Hakushi kept himself in phenomenal shape. That guy, that is somebody. I just realized something. My apologies, Roger. I didn't get into your second question. I didn't even answer your question, period. I'll answer it in a minute. I just realized it because Hakushi kind of like sparked that. Hakushi should have gotten more love in the United States. He worked in WWF. His feud with Bret Hart, it's probably my highlight, when he wrestled at Heatwave 98. With Hayabusa against Rob Van Dam and Sabu was amazing. I wish he would have gotten more attention in the United States. Absolutely wish he got more attention in the United States. So, and as far as Muda in the Hall of Fame this year, I think he blew it. I think he blew it with his comment. Look, we know now that, you know, he didn't say the F word that rhymes with maggot. But, you know, using the term queer towards Nakamura, we know why he said it, because Nakamura, it looked like he kissed him. He was taking the spit, the mist out of his mouth. What are you, queer? You know, I know why he said it. But I think if Muda goes in, they don't want any controversy at all. You know that there's going to be a boatload of people. Oh, you know, he just called Nakamura queer and you put him in a hole. I think he blew it. If there was any chance this year, I think he blew it. Next year, year after, he didn't say Polly either. Yeah, Polly. Yo, Polly want the cracker? Polly want cracker? Polly. People were just trying to figure out what he was saying. You can't even get a lip reader to do that. Couldn't tell what he, but it wasn't the F word. So, but let me answer Roger before, because very disrespectful on my part to forget. What's an underrated wrestling rivalry that I feel deserves more love? If you're talking about rivalries right now, I think Gunther and Sheamus should have gone further. I know they had two matches, but when they did the street fight with Imperium versus the Brawling Brutes, even though I enjoyed it, it felt like that match was put together to give the Brawling Brutes a win. I think Gunther versus Sheamus should have been something that should have gone on for months. Gunther and Sheamus should have been brawling with each other every single week. Keep going, keep going, keep going. Maybe they should have had that going to Mania. Some people think that rematch could happen at Mania. If we get Sheamus versus Gunther at WrestleMania, I will be very, very happy. That is one feud right now that I wish went further. If you're talking about the history of wrestling, my God, there are tons. There are so many. I mean, there are so many. I mean, the one for me that comes to mind right away, when Christian was feuding with John Cena. I will never forget it. Those were the early, early days of me going from hotline to podcast, and you felt it. You know, if there's any way to describe it today, just imagine the night Ricky Starks cut his promo on MJF, and a lot of people felt that Ricky Starks actually did better. Imagine that continues for a month or two. That's what it felt like with John Cena and Christian back in the day. Christian was getting so much momentum feuding with John Cena that at some point we felt like he overtook John Cena. And you literally felt it through the TV of WWE creative saying, pull it back, pull it back, pull it back. I can't describe it now, so many years later. You had to be through it and feel it. But at that time, we were like, what the fuck? Like, what happened? And it felt like they intentionally pulled back on Christian because he was organically starting to overtake. Now, would he have overtook John Cena at the end? No, probably not. But man, at that time, that guy was overtaking John Cena in that feud, and they pulled back on it. And that feud, I wish, would have gone further. Would have gone further. Believe it or not, Kevin Milwaukee, Jake the Snake Roberts, and Ravishing Rick Rude was a very big storyline, especially with Cheryl Roberts sitting at ringside. The fact that we remember so many intricate details of that, that was a feud that went on longer than you think. The only thing is, you didn't have any major titles on the line. You know, I'm talking about like heavyweight title. So it was always going to be a mid-card feud, but it wouldn't have, like, really, that feud should not have gone any further. It served its purpose. So, served its purpose for me. Rams fan, will WWE do the first 2023 Hall of Fame announcement this Saturday night? Well, they're supposed to do something with the video game. I don't know if they do a Hall of Fame announcement Saturday night. I mean, we're still at the end of January. I don't think so. I mean, if they do, that's cool, but I don't think it's necessary. The Royal Rumble is already the highest grossing Rumble of all time. There's going to be some major surprises going on with the Rumble. You don't need a Hall of Fame announcement. Honestly, I wouldn't do one. If I was WWE, I wouldn't do a Hall of Fame announcement Saturday. Why? There's no need to. So I say no. I say no. Yeah, I agree with you, Chris. I think Batista goes in this year, especially after what happened a couple of years ago. They're going to be in Hollywood. Like, how do you not put The Rock in the Hall of Fame? How do you not put Batista in the Hall of Fame? I mean, those two right off the bat. Like, they're going to be in Hollywood. I think there's going to be a lot of celebrities going. I think you're going to see a lot more celebrities this year in the past, especially because they're in Hollywood. I see that happening. But, yeah, I think Batista could go in. Sure. Why was Stan Hansen a no-holds-barred when he didn't have anything to do with the WWF since the 70s? Because they wanted to use wrestlers, and they wanted to use, you know, established people who actually could do something. You know, I mean, my God, we used to love seeing Professor Toru Tanaka in, like, regular films. Terry Funk was in a bunch of films back in the day, the one with Sylvester Stallone. You know, you had wrestlers appear in films. It wasn't a WWF versus NWA issue. It was just Stan Hansen was available, and he was willing to do it, and he's a very intimidating guy. Stan Hansen is what, in fact, you know what? I got to get some artwork of Stan Hansen. I got to put some Stan Hansen shit in the background. In fact, I think where that Funk thing is, the picture, I think we're going to keep that area in the back dedicated to, like, some of those, you know, like, tough son of a bitches, man. Tough son of a bitches. I don't think John Cena goes in the Hall of Fame this year. I don't think it's necessary. I think John Cena, although Hollywood, I think is still, you know, like, I don't think he needs Hollywood to be in the Hall of Fame. So I don't think John Cena this year. No, I don't think so at all. No need to, really. Especially if Batista goes in and possibly The Rock. I'm still a little surprised how few people are talking about The Rock going in the Hall of Fame this year. It almost feels like it's the perfect opportunity. So Arian is asking me, what are my thoughts on Lince Dorado winning a title in MLW? Lince is talented. I mean, yes, I've seen the commercials for MLW coming to Reels. They're going to be on Tuesday nights. And I'm going to check it out, give my honest opinion. For me, the problem is, you know, when you watch a wrestling show and there's only two or three rows of people, you know, it doesn't give that big fight feel. It looks like, you know, like only, it's like watching a baseball game and there's only three rows of fans. It's like, I don't care. Like, even if the game was good, it's like, it's kind of depressing. So I got to see, you know, how they do this. And I have a feeling that MLW might be more like what ECW was doing in the 90s. I got to see what kind of advertisers are on during that MLW show. I don't see MLW, you know, getting a boatload of advertising money out of this. In fact, nobody's even talking about advertising revenue. So Lince Dorado winning the belt in MLW. Look, MLW is this big. So he's a good wrestler. I have no issue with him winning a belt. I'm going to check it out. I'll give you my honest opinion on it. So, all right. Oh, yeah, I watch On Patrol Live every Friday and Saturday. In fact, I'm not going to lie, when I'm preparing for Saturday morning show, while SmackDown is on a rampage, I usually have On Patrol Live on the TV, and I'm getting my notes together and getting artwork and, you know, trying to figure out time, budgeting time and what I'm going to fill. Watch On Patrol Live every Friday, every Saturday. Crazy show, man. Back, it's a shame what happened to George Floyd. Yes, what happened to George Floyd itself is a tremendous tragedy. You know, I don't care what his criminal background was. I don't care if he was on methamphetamines that night. You know, you don't put your knee on somebody's neck And when the person is fucking gasping for air, you know, just because you think that the guy is, you know, lying to you doesn't mean, you know, you dig a little bit deeper. You know, it's a tragedy. As far as live PD to TV show goes, that's why it went off the air. Because there was so much controversy with police and Black Lives Matter. And, you know, they didn't want to have video of police. Like, the network dropped it. You know, it's fucked up. It's fucked up. But now they have On Patrol Live. In fact, I think it was Saturday, some woman, she needed a car pushed to, like, she ran out of gas. And while they were pushed, some police officer was pushing the car. And the woman's like, oh, it's live PD. And the officer's like, no, live PD's out of business. So it's out of business. All right, theme parks and things with SR John. Sasha Banks, thank you for the 10 spot, my friend. Much appreciated. Thank you. Sasha Banks will show up in the Rumble as Mercedes Moné. Wink, wink, just speculating. No. It's the same. I would love it. It's the same reason why she didn't show up in AEW. New Japan paid her a lot of money. It's not just her first match back against Kairi in San Jose, wherever it's going to take place in California. It is the mystique of what is she going to do? Is she going to change her repertoire? What new moves does she have? Is she going to be a straight-up heel, a tweener, babyface? Like, is she going to be a little bit more over the top? Like, there's a lot of mystique about Mercedes Moné. You're not going to tease any of that mystique being revealed before New Japan. That's why she will not be at the Rumble. I still am blown away at how many people lied, how many people got it wrong, how many people that knew it was not true but went with it for hits and views. I mean, honestly, like 95% of that wrestling media, they should be really ashamed of themselves. The Saudi Arabia stuff was, you know what the Saudi Arabia stuff was? You know what a lot of those people were saying? If you didn't think that, you know, like, I was full of shit already, here, this is to convince you. If you didn't learn with Mercedes not showing up in AEW, I'll give you one now. I was just blown away by that. It was so easy to figure it out. New Japan paid her 7 digits. She wasn't going to make a cameo surprise appearance before New Japan. Period. That's it. There was no controversy. I mean, it blew me away how many people that knew wasn't true. But if you saw their podcast, especially the titles, they were treating it as, what if fucking Trump shows up at the Rumble? What if, you know, she's not going to be there. What if? It's not what if. It's tell everyone she's not. But what if? What if Teddy Hart shows up in the Rumble? What if Vince shows up in his tank top? We know it's not true, but people still went with it because they needed those hits and views, man. That's awful. Awful. But you want to know something? In a way, I'm kind of happy, because shout out to everybody who is fairly new to the channel right now, because I got a lot of new listeners and viewers that now tune in because of, you know, being straight up about Mercedes and the WWE Saudi Arabia fiasco. You know, so I'll just keep doing my thing. You know, so I just hope you trust what I say. You know, if I have an opinion, I'll express it. If I know something's not true, I will tell you. I won't take something that I know is not true and twist it. No. E-Dub is asking, did I ever go to WrestleMania in the past? I went to 10. Do you have any advice for anybody going to their first Mania? Yes. First of all, know where you park. You'd be surprised how easy you could forget your parking area. Know where you park. That's first of all. Second off is, this might not be a popular thing to do, but, you know, you might want to, you know, get out of there a few minutes before everyone else. Especially you know, when you realize it may take you an hour, hour and a half to get out of the parking lot. If you don't mind that and you want to stay even after WrestleMania is done, go for it. Don't drink a lot of liquids right before you leave, especially if you are stuck in a boatload of traffic, especially California. California can be really fucked up with their traffic. So, you know, just those are a few things. And, you know, just have a good time. Have a good time. Bring some sanitizer. Bring a mask. Me, I don't wear a mask 95% of the time. Once in a while, I'm in an area, and, you know, if somebody is showing signs that they're sick, you know, you always want to have a couple on hand just to be careful. Just be careful. So, but just have a good time. Have a good time. And don't bring anything that could be confiscated. You definitely don't want to do that because, you know, it's going to suck if you show up at the building and they say you can't have this and you bring it anyway and they take it away. They're not going to say, could you hold it for me and I'll pick it up when I leave? They're not going to do that. So just have a good time. It's, listen, going to Mania is a lot more hectic than going to a regular wrestling event or even a pay-per-view. But, you know, it's very well organized. You just got to, you know, expect a lot of time. Oh, and get a good night's sleep the day before. Definitely get a good night's sleep because you will be absolutely drained. But you want to know something? It'll be a memory that will last a lifetime. WrestleMania, every year, you get these group of people. Oh, it's going to suck. I'm not excited. Oh, the matches don't look great. Oh, this is a bullshit year. Oh, this is one you could figure out. And then when it's done, 99% of the time, wow, it was a pretty good show. Pretty damn good show. WrestleMania will be good. WrestleMania will be a memory that will last a lifetime. So enjoy it as much as you can. Enjoy it as much as you can. All right. Bash 8 says he lives an hour away from L.A., but used to take him 3 hours to get home. Yeah. I used to work in Long Island. That was one of the reasons why I didn't want to work in Long Island anymore. I get out of work at 5 o'clock, takes me an hour and a half, 2 hours to get home. It should only take me 20 minutes. DJ D. Jimenez is going. He says, good tips. Definitely getting dropped off, not dealing with traffic. Oh, that, I'll give you another piece of advice. Oh, this is, wow. I would have really been pissed if I didn't do this. If you're thinking about Uber, think again. Or you better get your fucking reservation in early. Even if you reserve it for midnight or 1 a.m., even if WrestleMania ends an hour early and you're like, fuck, my Uber's not showing up for another hour, get your Uber reservation early. Every year, the same shit happens the last couple of years. You find out there's a bunch of people who were stranded. I would definitely get an Uber reserved early because there may not be any Ubers around. So definitely Uber. So John Vickers, you know, I was thinking about this earlier. Glad you brought that up. Do I think Randy Orton returns to the Royal Rumble, or when do I think he returns? I was saying to myself earlier, I hope Randy Orton shows up tomorrow. If he shows up, I think he is back to stay. I don't think he shows up, you know, appears out of nowhere, and then leaves, and then is gone again for a bunch of months. I think when Randy returns, it's to stay on TV. I hope he returns for the Rumble. If he returns at the Rumble, I would not bring him to Raw tomorrow. Because Randy Orton, he's had some memorable moments on Raw. But you don't immediately think about Randy Orton and Raw that often. So I would hold Randy Orton off of Raw and have him be a surprise at the Royal Rumble. I think that would be an awesome surprise. The thing is a lot of people thought Randy Orton's return would be the feud with Riddle. And the thing is, Riddle is not back yet. And I already know his status for the Royal Rumble. I can't say. I can't say. One thing about me, and I'm not saying to be a dick or to tease it, but one thing about me, you know, my word is my bond. If somebody says to me, please don't tell anyone, I don't tell anyone. I do know his status. But like I said, if Randy Orton would have returned, a lot of people thought he was going to return with Riddle, feud with Riddle. I personally think they should reform their tag team. I think especially with Randy Orton, if he could return to the ring, having a tag team partner takes a little bit of the workload off of Randy Orton a little bit. So I personally think if Randy Orton returns, he should team with Riddle once again. I think people would love to see RK-Bro reunite. I do know that they both loved being in that tag team. So I would reform the tag team. Then maybe for WrestleMania next year, you have them feud. So, all right. I saw John with another 10 spot. Thank you very much, my friend. I appreciate you for doing that. If I'm going to Mania, get there early because there's a lot of traffic in L.A., especially around showtime. And before L.A. has lots of traffic, yeah. I hear about nightmares in Los Angeles. I tell you, if there was any way to get a hotel room right near the arena, that's what I would have done. Seriously. If I would have went to WrestleMania this year, I would have made sure last year that I got a hotel room right near the arena. When I have gone to events, I usually like to get a hotel right near the airport. I like the idea of getting off the plane. Well, I don't go on planes really ever, but even like when I went to Disney or when I had to go to Florida a year and a half ago for my dad for something emergency, you know, I got a hotel room, you know, right near the airport. You know, it's just a lot more convenient when it's time to go home. You're literally 10 minutes away from the airport. So I would rather get a hotel room near the arena. Because the next day or the day after, if you're going to go to the airport, you know, most people, that congestion's already gone. I'd rather be right near the arena and just go right to the hotel room, even if I could walk or take like a shuttle bus. If the hotel's got a shuttle bus while everybody's outside waiting for Ubers, that's what I would do. I think the traffic would be less going to the airport a day or two later from a hotel near the arena than going from the arena back to a hotel near the airport that night. I think it'd be crazy, man. Maggie says that was her next question. He thinks Riddle may turn up at the Rumble. I can't say. I wish I could. I can't say. Just sit back and watch. I will say this. There are a couple of surprises set for the Rumble. There are a couple of surprises. When everybody was bitching and complaining about Cody being announced, no, I thought that was a great idea. You know, that's why you have the vignettes. When you start doing the vignettes, what did people actually think? Like a week before the Rumble, the vignette would be like, yeah, are you coming? Are you showing up? Imagine doing all those vignettes. Hey, I'm back in the WWE. Hey, I'm feuding with Seth Rollins. Hey, look, everybody, I'm bruised down to my balls. Hey, look, I got surgery. Hey, look, I'm trying to come back. Hey, look, I'm working out. Hey, I'm almost there. Hey, we're getting close. And then a week before the Royal Rumble, there's a giant question mark. Will I be there? That's stupid. The whole idea of the vignette. Imagine, like, I watched this movie the other day. Imagine Rocky II. Imagine when Rocky's like he's training and he's running and he's catching the chicken and he's imagine doing all that and then we don't know if he's going to fight the rematch. Stupid. People got used to that surprise mentality with AEW. I need a surprise. I need the lights to go off. I need somebody to show up unexpectedly. I need somebody to hit the ring. I need somebody unannounced. Where's my surprise? Where's my Mercedes Moné? Where's Mandy Sachs? Give me Alicia Fox. Remember that? Oh, Alicia Fox. Yeah, she's going to be... Fucking stupid people, man. They're like crack addicts. You know, just to sit back and enjoy the surprises. Sit back and enjoy the surprises. It's going to be a blast, man. Do I think Mickie James will be part of the Women's Rumble? I'd love it, but I think no. The reason why I think no is because... Me, I play semantics. the next time she loses, her career's over. To me, if she loses the Royal Rumble, to me, that's a loss. Yeah, she's still the women's champion and everything, but I don't want any L's on the Mickey James record until she loses that title. So, although I would love to see, put it this way, I'd love to see her in the Rumble if Nick Aldis is on the men's side. If Nick Aldis is in the men's side of the Royal Rumble, I'd like to see Mickey on the women's side. I think that would be pretty cool to see the husband and the wife in each Rumble. So I say yes if Nick Aldis is in there. If he's not, I don't think she should. I don't think she should. And as far as Forbidden Door stuff, if it feels right, you do it. You don't do it because of a small group of people online like, oh, it's fucked up, no Forbidden Door. You know, again, that's the mentality with the crackerjack. I need other feds. Give me people from other promotions. That's still a surprise. When the Forbidden Door opens up, that's a surprise. You know, oh my God, Forbidden Door. You remember when those two wrestlers from New Japan came in, Okada and someone else? I can't remember the other person that came in. And I remember that piped in, you know, like crowd pop. And it's not even like a normal crowd reaction, like, oh shit, that's fucking cool. There was the crowd pop was like, like shock. And I'm like, the fuck out of here. 80% of you don't know who that is. Could have been somebody selling off a food truck, you know. But the thing is, you know, people like, oh, Forbidden Door, look at this Jay White. Oh, he's part of Best Friends. Remember that? Ooh, he's part of Best Friends or whatever they fucking called it. What is he done? Juice Robinson. He had a great match with Darby Allin. Oh, Forbidden Door. Look, he signed. He signed. He's had one match in 2 months. That's what people want. They don't. It's about shock and surprise and crackerjack stuff instead of, no. Misha Montana will not be in the Royal Rumble. No, she won't. Randy Orton would get a huge pop at the Royal Rumble. But Randy's got to have a reason to return, not just show up in the Royal Rumble, get eliminated, and that's it. You know what I mean? Like, if Riddle were to be in the Rumble and Randy Orton showed up and RKO'd him and eliminated him, and that leads to a feud for Mania, that's different. But Randy Orton, there's got to be a purpose for him to return. Personally, I know this is a long shot. I'd love to see Randy Orton and Riddle reform RK-Bro and win one set of those tag titles off the Usos. I think RK-Bro beating the Usos for one set of those belts, I think everybody would be fine with. Even though Randy Orton's been gone for a long time, I think people would have no problem if RK-Bro won one set of those titles. I absolutely think Uncle Howdy will help Bray Wyatt. I don't think he helps LA Knight. It would make no sense at all. It'll make no sense at all. I mean, even if Uncle Howdy helped LA Knight, what is LA Knight going to do? He's going to cut a promo and, you know, be like, you know, like thanking him? Yeah. No. I mean, he'll probably be like, I don't need your help. Yeah. You know, it's like, and then what? And then Uncle Howdy looks like a moron. I fucking helped this guy. You don't even want to thank me. So I think he helps Bray Wyatt. Or go a little bit extra and have Uncle Howdy fuck them both up. Lay them both out. Seriously. Let Uncle Howdy lay them both out. That's what I would do. Have Uncle Howdy take care of both. Let Uncle Howdy lay out Bray Wyatt. Have LA Knight laugh at Bray Wyatt, you stupid son of a bitch. And then Uncle Howdy lays out LA Knight as well. That's what I would like to see. What did Kress say? Who do I think loses the Jay White Hikuleo match? And does the loser go to WWE or AEW? I don't think Jay White goes to WWE. Hell no. Jay White is uber talented. WWE doesn't need Jay White right now. AEW doesn't need Jay White right now. But I think, I'll say this out of respect, I think AEW fans would appreciate Jay White 1,000 times more WWE fans would appreciate him. That's how I think about it. I think Jay White would be great for either promotion, but I think he would fit better in AEW. And I think Tony Khan would treat Jay White that much more than WWE would. WWE don't owe nothing for Jay White. All right. How are we doing with time? All right. So we're going to wrap this up in 10 minutes. We answered a shitload tonight. I do have to tell you all something. Originally tonight, I was going to play a phone call. Somebody I had a huge falling out with last week, the brother of a former WWE 24/7 champion, somebody that almost fucked my father over of a lot of money. And I had it out with the person on the phone, and I recorded it. And I got it resolved. My father got his money back. The thing is, and the reason why I can't play it today, is the refund was only issued a couple of days ago. Since it's out of state, could take up to 5 business days to clear. I don't want to take a chance of me putting something out there, and then, you know, the person finds out and then pulls back on my dad's refund. The refund was a couple of $1,000. So it's a bigger story than you think. And yes, I should be the better person and not even tell anyone. But I listened yesterday to the phone call again. And when I listened to it again, I'm like, you're a dick. I'm like, fuck you. Fuck you with your attitude. And I'm like, I'm fucking playing it. But then I was like, all right, we got to wait a week. Maybe we have to wait 2 weeks because the Rumble is next week. I'm not saying who it is. It's a surprise. It's the brother of a former 24/7 champion. That's all I'm going to say. I've gotten a few answers. I've gotten a few emails, you know, and I will say this. More than one person got it right. I can't say who, though. No, it's just the brother of a former WWE 24/7 champion. That's all I could say. There's a lot of wrestlers that have brothers. People started, like, I guess people started Googling, like, who has brothers in wrestling? And, you know, it was a lot more names than you think. Someone actually emailed me, like, 9 different names. I'm like, you know, hey, good job for research, but, you know, it's one of those 9, but I'm not saying who. So, no Lenny stuff tonight. We want to just focus on the questions at hand and then have a nice night tomorrow once again. Tomorrow, this is your Raw preview, and I'm looking forward to it. I hope you join me right after Raw. We will definitely talk about these shows, and yeah, it's going to be good. It's going to be a lot of legends, man. You know what the only problem is with some of these legends? You know that there's just going to be sitting in the back. You know there's going to be, you already know. You already know. Oh, that's kind of small, but you already know that you're probably going to see a bunch of legends in the back, and they're going to be arguing. And then Ron Simmons is going to walk on, and he's going to, you know what's going to happen. We'll probably have Ric Flair in the back. They don't want to take Ric Flair, you know, too seriously. If you look, you know, now his arms look like, you know, like when you buy like 3-week-old chicken in a supermarket. You know, it's just, you know, it is what it is. You get old, that's what happens. But you could have Ric Flair in the back. He's probably going to talk to like IRS, Jerry Lawler, maybe a Bella. There's going to be like 7 odd people in the back. Maybe he'll talk to a bunch of gimmicks, and then Ron Simmons is going to walk in the room and he's going to be like, damn! And then walk out. So he's going to be like, there's 9 legends out the door. So you know we're going to get that. So tomorrow's going to be fun, man. I'm looking forward to it. We're going to get a couple of surprises. You know, I want to see Brock Lesnar ruin Bobby Lashley's chances. You ruined it, damn it! I want Bobby Lashley to get... Listen, Austin Theory ain't dropping that title tomorrow, but I want to see Brock Lesnar show up and fuck with Bobby Lashley, and that leads to little friction for the Royal Rumble, and that leads to their match at WrestleMania. So, but... Yeah, it's going to be fun. I mean, there's a couple of names, like I said earlier, that are being thrown around that, you know, it's almost a guarantee. Hell, if Kevin Owens does crash the court trial of Sami Zayn and it ends in a mistrial, I would actually like to see Kevin Owens show up with Steve Austin. I'd like to see Steve Austin maybe throw a stunner on Roman Reigns or someone, and then they just end the night with Steve Austin and Kevin Owens in the ring drinking some beers. They don't stun each other. That's what I would do. That's what I would do. Oh, yeah, no, Brock Lesnar's in the Royal Rumble. Brock Lesnar will be on Raw tomorrow. We talked about that a week ago. You know, now somebody during the day is going to be like, ooh, you heard it here first. My sources tell me that Brock Lesnar's in the building. It's just common sense. Brock Lesnar absolutely will be at Raw tomorrow. Thank you, Maggie, for the kind words. I hope everybody enjoyed tonight's show. You know, great conversation as always. You know, I really enjoy every show, and I appreciate all of your support more than you can imagine. Sunday nights are very, very easy. I mean, you know, it's a pain in the ass. I got to listen to the whole show back on like three times the speed to, you know, list the topics that we talked about. But I like that you all pick everything that's discussed. And if anyone out there wants to be part of the show, all you got to do is just show up live and go in a chat. Don't be shy. You know, your thumbnail's probably the size of like, you know, a pimple on my nuts. You know, you can't see anybody's face or anything. You just ask a question and I answer it, or we talk about it. So, all right. Yeah, and if you're enjoying the show, smash that thumbs up. The number looks awfully low today. Maybe you all aren't liking the show tonight. I don't know. Chris says Brock is paying 50-1 to win the Rumble. Brock Lesnar is not winning the Rumble this year. It's going to be Brock and Lashley at WrestleMania. There's no reason to change that around. I know, you remember the people, Brock versus Gunther? Although that would be awesome, Gunther and Brock Lesnar have to interact at the Rumble, even for 10 seconds. Seriously. I mean, the difference is, though, is Gunther is not very big anymore. So if Brock is already in the ring and Gunther comes out and goes to the ring, I don't think you're going to see Brock go, oh, big boy, you know, like Keith, like the time of Keith Lee. But I could see, you know, like Gunther in the ring already, and Brock Lesnar's music hits. Brock goes into the ring, and Gunther just stands there, just waiting for him. And I think you have Brock go right into his face, little stare down, and maybe they exchange a little bit, and Gunther gives him one of those fucking chops. And I could just picture Brock, his face turning pink like a newborn's ass, and just holding his chest, you know. Of course, I don't see Gunther eliminating Brock, but I think that would be awesome, man. I think that would be great. But Brock versus Gunther at the Rumble, I can't see that happening. As much as I would love it, I can't see that. E-Dub, I can honestly say this. There's never been a Royal Rumble I didn't like. There's been a few with, you know, some maybe lackluster performances or endings or, you know, but there's never been a Rumble that I didn't like. I mean, I have my favorites, and my favorite of all time is when Ric Flair became champion. It's just a piece of art from beginning to end. But I was even watching 1990s earlier today, and I was reliving a little bit of Hogan Warrior from that, and that was fucking fun. So there's not a Rumble that I don't like. So, all right. I'm doing good, Casey. Hope you're doing good. So, we're going to jet out of here in 5 to 6 minutes. So, let's make it good. Let's make it good. So, here's a programming note. I will be here for Friday Live. Right after SmackDown, I will be here live doing Royal Rumble predictions. I was going to do a show Saturday morning on normal schedule, but I thought about it. And it would be really dumb for me to do predictions like less than 12 hours of the Rumble. Not only that, a lot of people overseas, because of the time difference, already the time is all out of whack if I do predictions Saturday morning. So I'm going to be here live Friday night, right after SmackDown. We're going to do Royal Rumble predictions. Maybe we'll talk briefly about what went down on SmackDown that leads into the Rumble. But it's going to be a quick, at the most, 1 hour Friday. But we'll do predictions. This way, it's a nice time for those overseas, and it's still rather early for those within the United States. And Saturday morning, you get up. Hey, you could check out the predictions. We'll see how accurate we are. I'm sure we're going to get a couple of surprises on Friday night that'll segue into the Rumble. So Friday night, if you want to join me, I'll be here live Friday, right after SmackDown. So, I don't mind going live Friday nights. It's just a lot of prep, you know, especially when SmackDown first go. You know, it's not easy, even on Monday nights, to be writing results, capping thumbnails, trying to find little video clips, you know, trying to organize stuff. You know, if I went live an hour or two afterwards, it's not as bad. But when you're going live literally 5 minutes after something is over, you know, you have to literally prep while the shows are on. And it's not that easy. You know, it's not. But that's why I want Friday to be pretty easy, to just do predictions and get out of here. So I don't want to steal viewers from Rampage. You know, Rampage is not bad. I mean, honestly, if you're home and you're not doing nothing and you're in the mood to watch a little wrestling, Rampage, you can't go wrong. I mean, I think how you start getting viewers back for Rampage, give matches where you can't figure out who's going to win. It's too predictable. Every time you put Jade Cargill in a match, you know who's going to win. Darby Allin main events and just won the title 2 weeks ago. I don't care who the fuck he fight. He could fight Sting. He ain't dropping the title anytime soon. The matches are too predictable. If you notice on my synopsis, I write the results. Even when it's live, I write the results of all the matches before they even happen because you can figure it out. I mean, they're too predictable. The House of Black. And there's another giveaway. When they say, oh, the House of Black will be in action, that means they're definitely going to win. Because whoever you're going to face, you know, you could hear it in the voice of Justin Roberts. Justin Roberts, you know, Penta, El Hierro Miero, Rey Phoenix, or whatever. And then, and John Smith. Like, that's why I hated when they introduced, as trivial as it sounds, I hated how they introduced Ethan Page on Friday. Ethan Page, he's in the ring already. No entrance music. Yeah, and his opponent, Ethan Page. I'm like, wow, it's like jobber entrance. So make the matches a little bit more unpredictable when they're live. I mean, spoilers, you're going to know. But when they're live, put some matches together where we're like, gee, wow, that's an interesting match. I have no idea who's going to win. I think that's how you get some more interest. Cody, Seth, do the 1995 Royal Rumble ending with one challenge in the WWE and the other for the Universal title. I don't mind that. Problem is, you got to be perfect, man. I mean, they got lucky with Gigi Dolan and JC Jane. I don't think you dare do that with Cody and Seth. If they're off by a second, there are too many camera phones. That's why they got away with it with Gigi and JC Jane, because the place is so small and they did it on the side where there wasn't that many people there, even if you got a camera phone or two. But you do it at fucking Royal Rumble, there'll be 1,000 camera phones. And everybody and their mother is going to go on Twitter and say, no, 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 Seth Munn, it's clear. It's too risky. I still think, like I said, Cody or Seth, one of them wins the Rumble, the other one wins the Chamber. Adam Pearce says, we have two people, you know, fighting, who got title shots, so you could have them have a match on Raw, Cody Rhodes versus Seth Rollins, the winner facing Roman Reigns for the Unified Champion at Mania, and then it ends with a clusterfuck finish. Maybe the Bloodline gets involved and there's no winner, and Adam Pearce announces that Roman Reigns will face Seth Rollins for the Universal Championship, and he will face Cody Rhodes for the WWE Championship, or vice versa. That's what I would do. The winner of the Elimination Chamber usually gets a title shot. So whoever wins the Rumble, you leave it, they get a title shot. And then whoever wins the Chamber, that's when we realize we got a dilemma. We got two winners, two title shots. You don't automatically announce two matches. You tease a Raw where they fight for one shot and then something happens, so. Chris says, when I do predictions Friday, can I predict the final four and the winner for each Rumble match? I'm going to predict. I'll tell you right now, it's either going to be Cody or Seth, and it's either going to be Becky or Rhea. I mean, I don't think, see, the problem with predicting those things is there's a lot of entrants we don't know. So somebody could come back that we're not expecting and win it. So that's the only problem with that. But those are my picks. I just have to, like, really think about it. But I told you why I think Becky should win the Rumble. I think Rhea winning the Chamber is just dominant, the structure. It just it feels different if she wins the chamber. I'd rather see Rhea win a chamber match than Becky winning a chamber match. But yeah, so that's it. I'm out of here. If you enjoyed tonight's show, smash that thumbs up. If you know anyone out there that would like the show, obviously
as far back.
Not yet. Not yet. My computer's like, come on, let's get out of here. Let's get out of here. I got shit to do. But yeah, join me Monday night for your 30th Raw anniversary. 30 years of Raw, man. Still remember that first night. We'll definitely reminisce about that tomorrow. Damian Demento. The fuck is he doing here? Those were fun times, man. 30 years of Raw. We will celebrate it tomorrow. We will get into the matches. We will see who the surprises are. I will be live right after Raw, 11:05 p.m. I hope you could join me. And again, if you enjoyed tonight's show, smash that thumbs up. If you know anyone that would like the channel, let them know about it. And that's it. So everyone, enjoy tomorrow. Enjoy the surprises. Enjoy the matches. And I'll see you. Be well.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim...
People forget when Damian Demento threatened me in the Minority Report. Anybody remember that? It was like, what, 15 years ago? Oh, those were fun times. He used to show up on YouTube with that ugly shirt, the white shirt and the tie, and always like a really dark light, and he would fucking cut promos on us, threatening us. Fun times, Damian Demento, fun times.
Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.